This is ESPN 580 Orlando's Live, Local, and Loud.
Hey, welcome back. It's Live, Local, and Loud here on ESPN 580. We're broadcasting from the Victory Casino Cruises Studio, some of the only legal sports book in Central Florida. You can get in touch with the show at 844-225-5580. That's 844-225-5580. The text is 21232. Also on Twitter at ESPN 580 Nick and at The Jerry Daniels. The Orlando Dodge question of the night. You can assemble your own three-on-three team for Ice Cube's Big Three. You can use NBA players, former NBA players. Text us your three-on-three team. That is 21232. That is 21232. We'll get into that coming up a little bit later in the show. ESPN's Chris Haynes reporting earlier today, if you did miss this report, that the Orlando Magic are among seven teams that are interested in trying to pry Andre Iguodala away from the Golden State Warriors. I do like the way in which that this is kind of being reported, that NBA teams have figured, you know what, we can't get that good. We can't. So we have to somehow figure out a way to make them worse. Well, yeah. It is not affordable. It is not cost effective for us to try to put five free agents on a team like this because it is so expensive, because Golden State does not have the same cost, especially this year. They added Kevin Durant because Steph Curry's making $11 million this year. He's the best bargain in the league. Klay Thompson, pretty affordable contract. Draymond Green, same thing before the cap jumped up to what it was.
Something tells me, though, Curry is not all that upset over it. I know he's going to get paid now.
Oh, he's going to get paid now. I mean, here's the thing. Curry shouldn't be upset about it because Golden State could have let him walk. Yeah. And then who knows what his career looks like. He's a two-time MVP, a unanimous league MVP, a two-time champion. Making $11 million, he was making it because the team said, we think there's something here. You just got to be on the court. And is availability not the greatest ability? That is the thing for Steph Curry. He's going to get paid this year, though. The teams that Chris Haynes has down for Andre Iguodala that are interested, the Timberwolves, the Spurs, the Clippers, the 76ers, the Magic, the Nets, and the Utah Jazz. And I talked about this on ESPN Afternoons with Scott Inez. I think Andre Iguodala would be the perfect guy to bring here to Orlando. Yeah. I'm not saying the Magic would be the leading team. My goodness. The way people reacted and thinking that I was saying Andre Iguodala is coming to Orlando, but the fact that the team is in the conversation, at least interested in bringing a guy like this to Orlando, and I had someone text me a couple of minutes ago here, actually, at ESPN 580 Nick, about Iggy's leadership skills, and they had not heard about Iguodala's leadership skills his entire time in the league. I've heard quite a bit about him being a good leader on a team, being a great locker room guy, him being a team first guy. He gave up minutes. He gave up playing time to fit on this team. He was one of the four guys that went to go pitch Kevin Durant after they just made it to the finals and won 73 games. I think it'd be perfect to help these young guys in Orlando figure out how to navigate the league. He'd be a good locker room leader. Is he on the back nine of his career? Yes. Would I be concerned with a long-term contract with a guy like him? Yes. But that is a risk, I think, that you take if you're John Hammond and Jeff Weltman, if you're looking to expedite this rebuilding process. 844-225-5580. That's 844-225-5580. The text is 21232. Let's get to the Daily Rewind.
Nick and Jerry weigh in on the day's sports conversation. It's the Daily Rewind.
We start in the morning. Mike and Mike, they're on from 6 to 10 a.m. right here on ESPN 580. Today, Buster Olney, ESPN MLB insider, was on with Greeny and Gola. Great interview earlier today, and brought up the fact that Rob Manfred is looking to install a pitch clock in Major League Baseball by 2018, and it could lead to an automated strike zone.
Pace of action, time of game is a front burner issue for baseball right now. And, you know, I think the big battle over the next 9 months is going to be between Major League Baseball, which has the power to unilaterally impose rules before the start of the 2018 season. And so the question is, what will it negotiate with the union on this? And number one, I don't think there's any doubt whether it's next year or the year after that, we are going to see a pitch clock like they have in the minor leagues. And we'll see how they negotiate that. And I heard from some players when I wrote an article about this a couple weeks ago about what horse trading the players would do. And what I heard from some of them is, you know what, if we're going to have a pitch clock and we have to agree to that, we'd like to talk about an electronic strike zone. Because as one player said to me, if you want to speed up the pace of action, if you have an electronic strike zone, then you don't have the back and forth between the umpire and the batter. Where was that pitch? It was outside. Step out of the box. Complain. The pitcher, step behind the rubber, complain. The manager yelling at the umpire. I think that those two things are on the horizon sooner than we think right now.
Buster Olney, Mike and Mike. Pitch clock, Automated strike zone. I'm in on it. You're out.
You're in on both?
I'm 100% in on all of it if it's going to move the game along. I'm in on it. Enough of this human error stuff. Enough of this, it's what makes
the game. It's part of the game.
It's not. It's not, Jerry, okay? Technology is part of society today. You got to figure out a way.
Turning into a video game.
Games are longer today. No, because there's still going to be humans playing the game, all right? I would be less in on the automated strike zone. The 20-second pitch clock, I'm good with. Move the bleep along.
There's a little bit of drama you're waiting for.
No, there's not.
Strike.
No, there's not. That's fine. Okay, you want to do that? That's fine. I'm talking about the pitch clock, okay? There is nothing dramatic to Bartolo Colon standing there for 25 seconds, okay, because he needs to rest before throwing the next pitch.
Well, his career might be over if he doesn't have that time to rest.
It might be, but still, move the game along. Games for baseball are longer today than they were last year. What is it, 3 hours and 8 minutes now? 3 hours and 10 minutes?
It was so horrible to hear that.
Yeah.
After they had it down 2 years ago.
You know what you need is you need to equip all the umpires. You're right. Don't go to an automated strike zone, okay? You need to equip all of the umpires, okay, with tasers or cattle prods. Let's go. Clayton Kershaw, let's go. Let's get it moving. I wish every team had a Mark Burley because Mark Burley worked faster than anybody. It was a 2-hour and 40-minute game every time. It was great to watch him work. It was beautiful. It was a thing of beauty.
That was part of his strategy.
It was like a Picasso painting. Okay? It was. The game moves. It's too long. The Dan Lebatard Show on from 10 to 1 here on ESPN 580. Today, Dan and Stu talked about John McEnroe's comments when it related to Serena Williams being the greatest female tennis player of all time.
Karsten Brosch is a tennis player in a battle dubbed the Battle of the Sexes. At the 1998 Australian Open, between this guy and the Williams sisters, Venus and Serena had claimed that they could beat any male player ranked outside the world's top 100. So he was ranked 203rd, and he challenged them both. He took on Serena, and after leading 5-0, he beat her 6-1. Venus then walked on the court, and he beat her 6-2. The Williams sisters adjusted their claim to beating men outside of the top 350. If you want to find disrespect in what it is that John McEnroe said, I understand how it is that you can find disrespect in it. And I want to listen to women on this, but I will not have statement of facts become sexism.
That is the Dan Lebatard Show, 10 to 1 here on ESPN 580. I agree with Dan. I don't think what John McEnroe said was out of line. I talked about this last night on Monday Night with Nick and
Company. I
didn't
like the way he said it.
Is that
the facts were right?
Listen, I think that the reporter was out of her depth when asking these conversations in saying, "Okay, is she the greatest player, the greatest women's player? Why do we have to delineate a difference? Because the sport does. Because there's men's tennis and there's women's tennis. All right. If Diana Taurasi wins 8 NBA titles in 8 tries, we're not going to say she's greater than Michael Jordan. We'll say she's the greatest female basketball player of all time. Now, I guess you could
don't say the greatest men's basketball player.
I know, and I knew you were going to say that, okay? Which I think is just a way for somebody to push their own politically correct agenda. Maybe before we say everything, should just
but I went to UConn, so I have an appreciation for women's basketball that maybe the actual person doesn't.
Sure, that's perfectly fine. But I also think that people that are trying to make the case that Serena could beat the 700th best man doesn't understand just the biology and genetic advantages that men have. I'm not trying to be sexist. I'm not trying to be a chauvinist.
The worst part is if it's not realistic. Her, it'll never happen.
No.
Because she's a beast.
She is the greatest female tennis player of all time, and I would even say she's one of the greatest players of all time. One of the greatest tennis players of all time. But I would not put her in a match, okay, up against Federer and Nadal and all of these other guys. Nor do I think necessarily.
But she herself
have to go right
said
there.
Andy Murray would sweep her.
Right. She said. Yeah. She said that. And that was in an interview with David Letterman.
Yeah.
So I mean, I just everyone that's got an agenda on these things loves to run with these kinds of quotes. It's annoying. All right. Everyone wants to be outraged by this, and I don't know why.
But on mixed couples, man, she's my girl.
The Ryan Russillo Show on from 1 to 4 here on ESPN 580. Today, Ryan had ESPN NBA analyst Jeff Van Gundy on the show.
I'm guessing it would have to be Otto Porter, probably a pick involved. Maybe they would want Kelly Oubre, too. But though that three-headed lineup of John Wall, Paul George, and Bradley Beal would certainly be scary. And I think they still have a decent supporting cast to help them the rest of the way. There's going to be a lot of suitors. One source involved in this with Washington told me that Pacers appear to be very, very patient, not in a rush in the least. I don't know that Washington would be a front runner in this, but I definitely think that they are a team that you have to keep an eye on. I think they'd be super fun to watch with Paul George.
Correction, that was Mark Spears today on with Ryan Russillo talking about the Washington Wizards potentially acquiring Paul George in a trade. John Wall said last night during the NBA awards show that he was pushing Paul George to come to D.C. Where does that put Washington in the Eastern Conference in your mind?
If that happens,
yeah,
someone else goes home to D.C.
Well, of course. Either Otto Porter Jr. goes, or as he said, Kelly Oubre's got to go.
I could see an opportunity.
Marcin Gortat?
I could see an opportunity where maybe Durant and Westbrook reunion out there.
Wait, a Durant and Westbrook reunion? In D.C.?
Yeah.
What do you do with John Wall?
I mean.
No.
He didn't look all that great this year.
When he was making a game-winning three in game six of an Eastern Conference
semifinal? I'm not sold on Wall yet, man.
I'm sold more on John Wall than I am on Russell Westbrook. Hold on that. I would put them in pretty much the same class, but I think John Wall, if I had to bet which one would win a title first, I would bet John Wall before Russell Westbrook.
Really?
Yes.
That's a fair bet.
But Durant and Westbrook are not going to D.C. That's not happening. I don't think so. That is the ESPN 580 Daily Rewind. We take you through the day's sports conversation here on Live, Local, and Loud. It is the best, like the rewind and flavor you get when you have an ice-cold Yingling. Yingling free while gaming on Victory Casino Cruises. For more information, visit Victory at victorycasinocruises.com or call them at 855-GO-VICTORY. Coming up next, we get into the Orlando Dodge question of the night. Your three-on-three teams for Ice Cube's Big Three. It debuted last night. We'll give our thoughts on that. And I've got two big questions for the Orlando Magic when they enter free agency on Friday. That's next. It's Live, Local, and Loud here on ESPN 580.
This is ESPN 580 Orlando's Live, Local, and Loud.
Hey, welcome back. It's Live, Local, and Loud here on ESPN 580. We're broadcasting from the Victory Casino Cruises Studios, home of the only legal sports book in Central Florida. You can get in touch with the show at 844-225-5580. The text is 21232. Also on Twitter at ESPN 580 Nick and at the Jerry Daniels. Coming up in about 15 minutes, Rob Sykes from the Florida League will join us. We'll talk College World Series, Florida and LSU Game 2 tonight, starting at 8 o'clock. Florida wins that game tonight. They will be College World Series champions for the first time in school history. Florida has a
huge
1-0 lead in the series after a 4-3 win last night over LSU. Okay, I got two things prepared here, Jerry, actually. We will talk about the award show from the NBA. I've got five big questions for NBA free agency that you can respond to.
Okay.
Or I've got two questions for the Orlando Magic as they get into free agency. It's two different segments, okay? Which one you want to do now?
I always start with the Magic.
You want to start with the Magic. Okay. So we talked a lot yesterday. I understand. I'm glad because I didn't get to this during ESPN Afternoons at Scott and Ness. So I'm glad to get to this here right now. I talked yesterday about free agency when it came to the Orlando Magic and what we should expect from that new brain trust of Jeff Wellman and John Hammond. Okay. The Magic are projected to have about $15 million in money, which should give you kind of a role player depending on how the market shakes out. Now, the point guard market, by the way, is the thing to watch in free agency because that thing can go boom or bust, especially with the way that the draft went. It was a point guard-rich draft.
Influx of talent.
Exactly. And many of the teams that needed a point guard took a point guard. Like Kyle Lowry's looking for a team. Philly was one of those teams that might have wanted him. Dallas was a team that might have wanted him, right? Not anymore. Philly took Markelle Fultz with the number one pick in the draft. They also have Ben Simmons there. Dallas takes Dennis Smith Jr. out of NC State. All of a sudden, that dries up for him. And there are quite a few point guards on the market, including George Hill, a Drew Holiday maybe, that perhaps if the market dries up on them, like let's say all of a sudden the music stops, someone's looking for a chair, the Magic might be able to get a point guard to replace Elfrid Payton, which would be really awesome. But as free agency approaches, all right, I've got two questions. The Orlando Magic should be asking themselves, all right? One, what is Aaron Gordon? And I almost can't get to, I'm asking the question seriously because we're 3 years into Aaron Gordon, and Aaron Gordon has become the Ryan Tannehill of my NBA life. We're 3 years into his career. I still don't know exactly what Aaron Gordon is as a player. He's had his ups, his downs. The inconsistency is maddening, okay? But if you're the Orlando Magic, Jerry, I think you're hoping that Aaron Gordon takes that quantum leap this next season. I don't hope. I don't think I know.
He can't. He still doesn't even know what role he's supposed to play on the team.
Well, I think that we. I think
last year killed the poor kid.
Well, I don't think it killed him. All right, but I think that last year showed us that he is more of a power forward than he is a small forward because he's not the ball handler.
He had a great suggestion. Go super small and put him in the middle.
Put him at five.
Yeah.
Okay. That's all right. So after saying last year just killed him, you're going to play him in a different position now too. I need some sort of consistency here, Jerry.
There's no consistency, and that's been the problem with the team, starting with Jacques Vaughn through, you know, the greatest point guard that ever lived with the Magic.
Scott Skiles.
And now, you know, God bless Frank Vogel for inheriting this mess.
So the fact is, though, if you're looking at Aaron Gordon and trying to decide...
I have more hope for him than I do for the point guard.
Me too. I do. Now, I think your hope is for him that he takes kind of a jump in year four here that we have seen in other players. Like, you hope that Aaron Gordon
is... And I think Jonathan Isaac might be the key to it, because I think Jonathan might bring the athleticism to the game, which changes the style of play of Orlando that best suits Gordon. I mean, I honestly believe this pick was to kind of help Gordon get along. Or motivate him, because maybe it's the same guy.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they necessarily play the same position. I think Jonathan Isaac is kind of, he's going to be a 3-4 and a 5. I think the hope is that they play on the same, they play on the same roster, of course, at the same time. He is still growing, yes. Here's the thing. When you look at Aaron Gordon, you look at year four for NBA players. Year four is a big year for rising NBA stars. Many guys that are not LeBron, Durant, kind of bona fide guys that are ready once they get into the league, it takes a little while for them to find their game, for them to kind of pop. Year four and five, that's when dudes pop. They show some development year after year when they first get in the league, but that year four and five is kind of a big deal. Let me give you a couple of examples, okay? Because Aaron Gordon has shown a similar kind of developmental, track as some other guys that we've seen pop before in the league. So you look at Aaron Gordon's numbers in his career. Year one, shortened by injury, by the way, 5 points. Year two, 9 points, 12 points a game. He scored in year three. The shooting percentage has kind of gone up and down based upon where they played him on the floor. Like last year, he shot 45%, but that's because they played him, what, three quarters of the season, half the season or something at small forward, where he attempted a heck of a more three-pointers than he did in year one and two. In fact, year two, he attempted about two threes a game. That was up by 50% in year three. He attempted three threes a game in year three. You look at Paul George, a guy, think he's a pretty good player, one of the best two-way players in the NBA, drafted by Indy in 2010. Year one, 61 games, 19 starts, 20 minutes a game, shot 45%, 7 points a game. Year two, 66 games, all of them starts, 12 points a game in 29 minutes, 44% shooting. A little more volume there from him. Year three, 79 games, he scored 17 points a game. Okay, 37 minutes a game. Now, you could say he's playing more minutes. Those numbers jump up. Year four, he pops. Year four, 80 games, 80 starts, 36 minutes. He jumps from 17 points to 21 points, shoots 42% from the floor. Now, he's never been a knockdown shooter, but that year four, huge jump. Jimmy Butler, Chicago. Make that Minnesota, but spent his early career in Chicago. Sure. Drafted in 2011, 42 games in his first year, 8.5 minutes a game, 2.6 points. This guy was drafted 30th overall. Year two, 82 games, 20 starts, 26 minutes, 8.6 points. Year three, 13 points a game in 67 games in 38 minutes. Year four, once again, we see a pop. 65 games, had an injury, 38 minutes, 20 points a game. Takes that next step.
Are you making me hopeful that...
I'm trying to. That's my point. That if you are the Orlando Magic, the question you're asking yourself is, what is Aaron Gordon? You're hoping he fits
Paul
into...
Paul George did the same thing, too.
Yes.
You watch him.
He fits into this group. Paul George popped. Jimmy Butler popped. You know who else popped in year four? A guy John Hammond and Jeff Weltman should know really well. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yeah.
Giannis, his first year, 77 games, 6 points a game in 23 starts and 24 minutes. 31 minutes a game in year two. 12 points a game. I know I'm throwing a lot of numbers at you, but please bear with me. Year three, 80 games, 79 starts, 16 points a game. Last year, year four, the Greek Freak pops. by the way, was the most improved player in the NBA last night. 80 games, all of them starts 35 minutes. He jumps from 16.9 points to 22.9
It's more evident in players that don't
first-time All-Star
get through college. Your one-and-dones, your two-and-dones. Those are the ones you most see.
Two of these three were the contrary. Jimmy Butler was a multi-year player in college at Marquette.
He was 2 years or 3 years?
Oh, I want to say Jimmy played 3 to 4 years. I believe Jimmy might have played all 4 years. And Paul George, I would say, spent more than 1 year in college as well when he played as well. And I'll have to double-check that for you. But two of these three guys, I believe, four-year players, took them a little while to pop. Yes, they are a little bit older. Giannis, of course, came in at 19. So you look at Aaron Gordon's numbers and his arc here in Orlando, it's similar to those three guys. You're hoping that he fits into that group where it takes you 4 or 5 years. And no one's as impatient as me.
Yeah.
Like, I've done the whole get rid of Aaron Gordon. He's hit his ceiling. We don't know what he is. But going into year four, hopefully Aaron Gordon has locked himself in a gym somewhere and he's just shooting three-pointers and jumpers to improve that shot, because he has the athleticism. He has the ability. I know he's not a great
shooter, but that's not his strengths. I mean, he's an athletic player.
I understand.
He needs to play as close to the basket as he can.
It wasn't Paul George or Jimmy Butler's strength either, but they figured out a way to at least add that
threat. Yeah, Dwight Howard's trying to do
to
it,
their
too.
Game. All right, you got another point to make here or what? Like, now you're just pissing me off, frankly.
But that's my point.
No,
just because
someone wants to do it doesn't mean
they're going to have the success at it.
It's not your points. The fact is, though, that Paul George and Jimmy Butler have at least put the threat in their
game of shooting a long ball. Don't make me angry, because you're building up my hope. I have the most hope for
Gordon
on the court.
Don't be so emotional. You're so emotional about this. That's the thing, is the guy in year four, what I'm saying is, a Magic fan, you are hoping that this guy takes that step, or else you're probably heading into the very tough decision after 4 years of, do we pay this guy or not? Does he become a restricted free agent? He will. Do we sign him to an offer, or do we match an offer sheet, or we just offer him a big deal midseason because he's having a big year?
And that might be the question that's asked sometime around Christmas time.
844-225-5580. That's 844-225-5580. The text, 21232. That is 21232. Rob Seitz is next here on Live Local Now. Talk some baseball here on ESPN 580 Orlando.
This is ESPN 580 Orlando's Live, Local, and Loud.
Hey, welcome back. It's Live, Local, and Loud here on ESPN 580. We're broadcasting from the Victory Casino Cruises Studio, some of the only legal sports book in Central Florida. You can get in touch with the show at 844-225-5580. The text is 21232. Also on Twitter at ESPN 580 Nick and at The Jerry Daniels. We'll talk a little baseball with our buddy Rob Seitz, president of the Florida League. Aaron Judge continues to just tear up Major League Baseball. We'll get into that with him and a whole lot more. He joins us now. Rob, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
I'm doing good. Jerry, you doing good, man?
I'm doing wonderful, and we get to talk a little Major League Baseball, which gets me even more excited. But the thing that's kind of turking me off is there was a couple articles this week about it's probably a done deal that we'll have a pitcher's clock at least by 2020. We're maybe looking at a 20-second pitcher's clock. Oh, as a former pitcher yourself, what do you think of this?
Well, I like the speed up the games. I think the biggest problem with baseball is that the strikeout rates are an all-time high, home run rates are an all-time high, which can be a good thing, but there's no more of the guys getting on base, stealing bases, there's a less action going on in the game. I think that's the biggest problem that they have. I look at it like, listen, there's so much money going on in these games. These pitches are so important. It's just like the PGA Tour on those little 4-foot putts there, you know. Hey, they should just knock those in like we do when we're playing on a Sunday and say, hey, those are good, or gimmies or whatever. But those guys sit there, mark those, clean their ball, line it up, because those putts mean so much to them. They miss that putt, that might cost them, you know, $100,000 or, you know, a good chunk of change there. So it's hard to do to those major league guys. I don't know if they're going to, you know, the players are going to go for that. You're talking about the strongest union in all of sports as well here, is the Major League Baseball Players Union. So we'll see what happens on that old pitch count thing there. So
another strong union to keep in mind there is the ones behind the mask. Thoughts that maybe they would go to a digital strike zone, virtual strike zone. Maybe you'd still leave the umpire in there in a scenario where they would make the announcement, but no room for argument since the computer determined it. Ugh, this just seems to take us more and more out of what I love is baseball.
I think, I mean, I've thought a lot about this. Now, I actually like this. But you got to realize that the umpire, the home plate umpire, makes a lot of other determinations besides just calling balls and strikes. So they're going to have somebody back there. But again, when you look at all the money of this and all this stuff that's, you know, going on with baseball, you know, making sure that the call is 100% correct, or at least whatever it's going to be, 99 point whatever, with the accuracy of the machines and all that kind of stuff. I would love to see it. I would like to see it actually and what it looks like. And obviously they're going to test it out in the minor leagues and do a lot of testing. You know, but I would love to see the, you know, their high level of accuracy there of, you know, with the balls and strikes calls.
He is Rob Seitz, president of the Florida Collegiate Summer League. You can check them out. They are in season right now, WoodBet Summer League, at floridaleague.com. Rob, let me get to Aaron Judge, because I think he hit another 5,000-foot home run again last night. This guy is absolutely tearing it up right now, and he's playing in New York for the Yankees. This has to be a gift from the baseball gods for Rob Manfred in Major League Baseball.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what a – you know, I was checking out, you know, I got MLB TV at my house, and I went to watch the Yankees just because of him, because I want to see that guy hit, because when he comes to the plate, I mean, he's just such a physical specimen. His bat speed is unbelievable. Obviously, he's launching balls, you know, like you said, 500,000 feet there. I mean, it's fun to watch guys like that. So yes, it's a great thing for baseball, that's for sure. And it's baseball's always better when those Yankees are playing well. I know they've gone through a little bit of a streak there, but those Yankees, they got a lot of young talent, and you know, they obviously have the money to get guys sign some free agents, and if they can get some pitchers over there, they're gonna have a heck of a team there.
Rob Seitz, president of the Florida League, operating 6 WoodBat teams here in Central Florida. For more information on how you can get a $2 20-ounce Yingling on Thirsty Thursdays at Sanford Memorial Park, check them out at floridaleague.com. Speaking of Florida baseball, Rob, tonight is Game 2 of the College World Series, possibly a chance for the Florida Gators to close out an all-SEC World Series between them and LSU. I know you're familiar with the starting pitcher last night in Game 1 that got that 4-3-1. Can you tell us a little bit more about Singer and the sort of performance you expect out of him going forward?
Well, Singer's a heck of a pitcher, as everybody saw last night and really throughout the season this year. He turned down a big signing bonus, got drafted high, and ended up going to Florida. We got to see him in our Florida League High School Invitational Tournament over here with Eustis and David Lee as a coach there, and they were actually in the championship game, and he pitched great as well in that high school invitational there as well. But yeah, a heck of a pitcher. They got, I mean, Fieto the night before to get them into the World Series too. That guy's going to be a very good pitcher there. I think the Cubs got him too, didn't they, Nicky Football there?
I'm not sure. I need to look.
I think it was the Cubs that got him in the first round there. But anyways, they've got a lot of talent on the mound. Kevin O'Sullivan has done a tremendous job. There's a lot of rumors of Kevin O'Sullivan going to South Carolina, so hopefully he stays in the state of Florida here, and hopefully a national championship will help him there. But it's going to be a tough – it's still going to – I expect this game to actually go 3 games, and I actually expect to see Fieto come out of the bullpen for the last few innings of that Game 3 and Florida to win that. So we'll see what happens, though.
Yeah, Rob, Detroit got him. That's who got him, Alex Fieto.
Detroit took him.
In the MLB draft. He is Rob Seitz, president of the Florida League. You can check him out, Florida Collegiate Summer League. Their season is going on right now. Thanks for joining us here on Live, Local, and Loud. Rob, I want to get your thoughts quickly on the trade that the Tampa Bay Rays pulled off, and maybe I'm catching you a little flat-footed here, but the Rays did get a Denny Hecheverria from the Miami Marlins, and you look up, all of a sudden Tampa Bay is just 3 games back in the AL East. Is this a guy that can really make a difference for them in the next 5 months of the season here?
Well, definitely. I mean, he's a impact player for them, and the Rays, they've got a very smart front office. They've been able to, you know, with the budget that they have, obviously, they've been able to still have winning teams. They got some great coaches. Jim Hickey is probably the best pitching coach in all of baseball. He's a guy that comes to our Celebrity Golf Tournament every year as well. But yeah, they've got a great program over there at the Tampa Bay Rays. They just need to figure out that whole stadium thing. But their front office is very smart, making smart moves there. And they always find themselves in contention with all these big spenders there in the AL East as well.
All right, Rob, when's the All-Star game? And I know Thirsty Thursdays are in 2 days. Yep. Anything big news other than that with the Florida League right now?
Saturday, July 8th is the big All-Star game. Home Run Derby before that as well, 6 o'clock at historic Sanford Memorial Stadium, actually right here. I'm here right now waiting to hopefully get this weather cleared out so we can get started out here. But, yeah, that should be a big one. And then we've got a really cool trip with the Southeast Collegiate Showcase that we're going up to North Carolina and playing against the Valley League, Cal Ripken League, the Southern League, and the Sun Belt League. And last couple of years we've been able to win that tournament up there. So hopefully we'll represent ourselves well. And with that next weekend after the All-Star weekend, we go up there to represent the Florida League up there.
Well, Rob, we're looking forward to it. We will catch up with you after that All-Star game and that showcase and hear how it went. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks a lot, guys. Take
care. All right. He is Rob Seitz, the president of the Florida League here on Live, Local, and Loud. Seems as if he's okay, Jerry, with the automated strike zones as well as the pitch clock, too. That Major League Baseball will be moving towards.
He wants
towards
more time to just eat those hot dogs there at
just
the park.
Just move the game along a little bit. That's all. It doesn't have to be. The game does not have to stay the same forever. Games evolve. Leagues evolve. Smart ones do. The NFL.
Baseball
the NBA
doesn't have to be for everybody. It just has to be for baseball.
We'll talk about that and the NBA Awards Show. 3-on-3 coming up next, Live, Local, and Loud.
Hey, boss, look. Got the latest edition of the Crooks of Us newsletter.
Oh, yeah? Got any good news in there?
Good news for Safe Touch.
Well, that's definitely not good news for us.
No kidding. It says the Safe Touch switch and save deal is sweeping the city.
I feel a rash coming on.
Folks who want to save, just log on to safetouch.com, use the promo code SWITCH, and receive a free system check and backup battery, $149 value.
Oh, I'm gonna be sick.
Boss, homeowners that switch to Safe Touch are saving an average of 40% on their current bill.
40%? The best security system for less dough? How does Safe Touch do it?
Cheer up, boss. There's still plenty of houses out there without Safe Touch. For now.
Oh, I hate Safe Touch.
Crooks know to stay away from Safe Touch houses. Hi, I'm Lester Jackson, president of Safe Touch Security Systems. No one beats our technology or our price.
Call Safe Touch today at 888-723-8682 or go to safetouch.com. State license number EF233.
There are a lot of kids in this country who didn't have a parent at their baseball games or recitals because their parents were serving in faraway places. But now their parents are coming home from battle. Some with wounds you can see, and some with wounds you can't see, like post-traumatic stress disorder. Every day, Wounded Warrior Project assists wounded warriors and their families with the Warriors to Work program, a program that helps warriors translate their military experience to civilian job experience, and they help employers find the right warrior for the right job.
My mom used to be a tank programmer. Now she works with computers. I'm really glad she's home because I can't eat my dad's marshmallow macaroni anymore.
I was 2 when my dad went away to war. He was there for 3 of my birthdays. Now he's home and he's a logistics specialist.
If you're looking for proven professionals, contact Wounded Warrior Project at findwwp.org. Welcome home the brave.
ESPN 580 Orlando Sports Center update.
It's Tony Marino. Orlando City got some good news this morning. The Lions' leading scorer, Kyle Larin, cleared by MLS's substance abuse program to return to play following his DUI charge. The 22-year-old missed 3 games during the league's substance abuse and behavioral program. He'll continue participating in that program but is now eligible for team activities. Oklahoma City Thunder star Russell Westbrook is the most valuable player in the NBA.
Just humbled again by this amazing award, and so many great Hall of Famers have gotten this award, so I'm just humbled to be able to be a part of some of those guys.
Westbrook broke Oscar Robertson's single-season record with 42 triple-doubles. The Warriors' Draymond Green won Defensive Player of the Year, and Houston's Mike D'Antoni beat out Miami's Eric Spoelstra for Coach of the Year. MLB Rays beginning an 8-game road trip tonight in Pittsburgh. Tampa will also visit the Orioles and the Cubs. 6-5 Alex Cobb throwing the heat tonight. The Marlins open a 3-game series with the New York Mets in Miami. The Yankees are at the White Sox. Atlanta is in the late game at San Diego. Florida Gators 1 win away from their first national championship. LSU must win game 2 tonight in the best of 3 series or it's all over. SportsCenter, brought to you by the International Champions Cup, Paris Saint-Germain versus Tottenham Hotspur, July 22nd, Camping World Stadium. Tickets are on sale now at internationalchampionscup.com, internationalchampionscup.com.
WDBO Orlando, WDBO-FM HD2 Orlando. Broadcasting live from the VictoryCasinoCruises.com studios. Your home for the Saturday MLB Game of the Week. And Sunday Night Baseball is right here.